Renee and I just wanted to pop in and bless you and speak a blessing over you and tell you about a resource that's available to you.
Sure.
I recently did a message at a church that the pastors had asked me to minister on the supernatural, on the miraculous. And Renee and I both felt like that the Holy Spirit just showed up and did a good job. We called it, Where Are You From? You know, are you from this world here? Or are you from the heavenly world? And I think you get a hold of it, it'll bless you, it'll minister to you, and you'll learn some things about miracles.
Well, it was so profound in that we have to realize that we are living in a realm where we're surrounded by the natural, but yet we're called upon, Terry, like you taught, to live out of the supernatural
realm.
Absolutely,
absolutely. And I think you probably hadn't heard anything like this before. I asked some pretty pointed questions that I think will be a blessing to you.
Sure will.
The details are on the screen on how you can get it.
Order the CD with shipping and handling or download instantly at terrymize.com.
So glad you have joined us today. We are thrilled to be here with you and talk to you again. And let's just, you know, think about all the good things that God's doing from the Word of God. But most of all, Terry, you know, the church has to be really prepared to live in the wicked, evil days that we're living in.
You think?
And have the authority that we need to have to do the work. Pastors have to train. Church has to listen, and we have to value the information that we get from the Word of God and then put it to work. You know, we just came back from a wonderful trip in North Carolina, and the pastors there ask you to come and do 8 services. In fact, 2 wonderful pastors came together, Pastor Jim Jarman and Pastor Ron Stribling, and his entire family, along with the church families of both of those churches there in the North Carolina area. It was just wonderful. They had prepared their people to receive the Word of God.
We were in Jacksonville, which is where Camp Lejeune is, which
yes.
is a Marine base, of course. So lots of military, and we were there and just really enjoyed the whole time. And
yeah.
Of course, Jim and Joyce Jarman have been longtime friends. They
friends and partners.
Their spiritual father and them,
yeah.
our spiritual kids. And then Pastor Ron, we had met a year or so ago.
Right.
And they've been partnering with us. And so both of those pastors wanted us to, going to join their churches together for a multiple service. You know, I thought they meant 3 or 4.
No, it's 8 days.
We did 8
Sunday
days,
to Sunday.
And then during the week, we did 2 services a day. So a total of 12 services. It was great.
And you can go online and go back and listen to those, view those. They had such a great team there that we worked with, and those meetings, we encouraged the people. They said, look, take everything that you get now, mm-hmm. you know, and go home and study it and put yourself through Bible school, because this is information that will help you, Terry, you know, be able to do what you've got to do to serve God in these last days.
Yeah, you know, in 12 services, we were able to cover some stuff.
Yes.
And some of them went a little bit longer because they didn't want me to quit. You know, they
right.
said, don't quit.
Isn't that wonderful?
So we had a good time.
It was, and there's a lot of fruit still going on. We've heard from these pastors, and we are just so thankful for the fruit that the Word of God promises, that it will always bear much fruit.
Yes.
And thankfully, they have pastors that are leading them into that relationship of success and, you know, real spiritual authority like you've taught for all these years.
Yeah, no, the services are great, and their praise and worship group was very, very good.
Oh, outstanding.
And I think we need to do a program one day about praise and worship groups. I tell you, most of them today are lacking. And you know a lot about that. You've been in the music all your life.
Well, they were doing warrior music.
They did really good stuff.
Marvelous
and, you know, a lot
worship.
Of the services, it would just be the young lady, Annie, which is a dear sweetheart, and then partners of ours, her and her husband, Sterling, and then like a, just a guitar player. Although they had all the other musicians and all the other things
available. Everybody was great.
But it was just, I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I don't always enjoy it. You know, I'm usually looking at my watch thinking, if they'd hush, I'd preach. You know, if they'd hush, I'd preach. You know, most Word of Faith preachers that I know is like, hey, we don't need any music. Let's just preach the Word. You know, I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I got into those services, and the first night I started to get uptight about it, you know, and thinking I need to preach. Then I thought, yeah, I'm just going to relax and enjoy this, and whatever time I have, you know, I'll do it. So,
well, it was
I had you come up every night.
Yes.
You weren't there with me the first few nights because you had to fly to Houston to deal with some granddaughter graduations and things like that I couldn't make. And
we had an A&M graduation and a kindergarten graduation.
Yeah, you went from kindergarten to college, university.
It was too much fun.
And then you joined me midweek.
Yes.
And so then, of course, I always bring you up every service, and you just taught some great, great word.
Well, thank you.
And sometimes took a lot of time, but anyway,
I enjoyed the
services.
It was a wonderful time, and the reason we share all this with you today is because the joy of the Word of God living in you, as you know, it just bubbles out. It's so exciting to serve the Lord, but then to see the looks on people's faces when you and I've always said, you can tell the lights come on, people get it.
Oh yeah.
And the volume of worship. That's what's so wonderful about having the Holy Ghost and being in Holy Ghost services, is that the ministry allows the people to respond joyfully and in worship. And there's a vocal response from the congregation and their rejoicing over hearing truth, Terry.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, hearing the truth from the Word of God. People go, yes, I know that's right. Amen.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Oh, and some people even just say, thank you. You know, and they'll just individually just break out clapping or laughing because it was so heartwarming to them to know this is the truth. This is what worked. This is what changed my life.
Right. When I first got out of the Army, I went straight to Mexico, to the mission fields. And I spent time with a missionary named Wayne Myers. Wayne's 100 years old this year, still preaching. And I ran into a lifestyle that absolutely pricked my heart, grabbed hold of me. I saw a man that was living to give. I mean, he was living his life on planet Earth with the purpose of blessing somebody, lifting somebody, embracing somebody. And I saw that. I said, this is it. I'm embracing this. And I right there made a vow to God and to myself. And I said, this is how I will live the rest of my life, living to give, because it's the very nature of God. So I want to encourage you to hook up with that same lifestyle of giving. I mean, embrace it, living to give. And you can give to your local church, you can give to other ministries. I've partnered with ministries since around the world since I was a teenager, and I tell you, God's blessed me for it. I wouldn't trade it. You can also partner with us. We're always happy to embrace partners. We pray for them every day. But as long as you hook up with that concept, that lifestyle of God, living to give, then it'll be a blessing to others, and it'll certainly be a blessing to you. And you know, everything with God is wisdom, understanding,
exactly,
and knowledge,
yes,
and then revelation.
Yes.
And I tell you, we gave out a lot of wisdom, a lot of revelation,
yes,
a lot of knowledge, not a lot of understanding. And the people really thoroughly, you know, enjoyed it.
Oh, it was.
And
immediate.
Of course, not the whole church came. Some people, that worked or had other things to do,
sure,
or some people just don't come to church. But I mean, the folks that came,
yes,
they were there every service.
Oh, it was wonderful.
And they were hungry.
They create an atmosphere.
They're pulling. They're pulling.
That's
making demand. What I always say, make demand on the Holy Ghost, or make demand on the office of the minister that's ministering.
Yeah,
great. And they were pulling, and they were thrilled. They were delighted, and they were receiving. And I'm really expecting, we had good testimonies, we had good miracles. One guy threw his cane down. In fact, I got videos of it. One guy threw his cane down, and he's a medical doctor, by the way.
Yes.
And he threw his cane down, and he ran up and down walked up and down the steps without it, you know, and told about all the different medical problems he was dealing with, totally from a doctor's point of view.
And, isn't that wonderful?
And how God totally, completely healed him. Yeah. And we had a lot of other good testimonies.
It was absolutely wonderful. And we talked a lot about, you know, how you've talked about spiritual authority. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea of you writing a new book is, you know, what we want to talk about here and share with you today is how very, very, very important it is for people to learn. And the title of your book is what?
Well, you're talking about spiritual authority, which I'm working on a book on spiritual authority.
Right.
But the book that we're just about to release is Pulling Down Strongholds.
Right.
And, both of those books go hand in hand.
No, they do.
Because if we're going to pull down strongholds, we're going to have to learn how to live in spiritual authority.
Right. And all those years that you were preaching it, which is now 55 years, the whole purpose for you learn, you know, having to do it on your own out there, mm-hmm. and then realizing, you know, why you were going to write this book.
Sure.
You know, the reason for writing the book was that you could show people, you know, how to do it themselves.
I mean, you know, 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are
right.
not carnal. We're in a warfare.
That's
it. In fact, we're in warfare now.
In
America, the worst thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Right.
I mean, it's like the whole country has gone nuts, from the administration in Washington, D.C. to Hollywood to just all the news media. They look you right in the eye and lie. They lie when the truth would fit better. And they tell us they tell us all kind of untruths and so on and so forth. They try to manipulate the elections. I mean, it's like I'm living in a third world country. I mean, I've done this in communist countries all my life.
Right.
And in communist countries, I'm used to rigged elections, and I'm used to them manipulating the truth and are just outright lying to you.
No, true.
But in America, we always had some semblance of, hey, we can believe the government, we can believe the news media.
Right.
You know, and then in America, everybody quoted scripture. Everybody understood the word.
Right.
And you know me, I'm an old Western watcher, and so I still to this day watch Gunsmoke, and I watch Wagon Train and stuff like that. And it's just amazing.
Exactly.
The scripture.
You and I have talked about that often.
The scripture.
Right.
That's quoted or read in all those old movies and all those old shows. In fact, we was watching one show of Gunsmoke here a couple of weeks ago, and a bunch of hillbillies had come down out of the hills, you know, to find a wife for one of the cousins. And so they were kind of interviewing women to see who they wanted to pick for the wife to go back to be the wife.
Yes, this is very basic.
And the young lady that they chose, the reason they chose her is because she could read the Bible so well.
Right.
And right there on the program, they had her just stand up and open the Bible, and she read a whole chapter out of the Bible.
That's
right. And it's like, when do you ever hear that anymore? You know, when you even hear that on the news.
Well, we've seen such a, I mean, just even this week, there has been so much demonic activity happening in the world with murders and vile things happening, just wholesale killing of human
tying
life.
Tying the police hands, you know, defunding the police,
right.
not letting them. And what sane person on the planet would open up your nation, open up the nation, throw the doors wide open, and let anybody on the planet walk in unvetted. We don't know who they are, don't know where they came from, don't know if they're murderers, rapists, don't know what they are, don't know if they're sick, don't know if they're diseased, don't know if they're terrorists, don't know if they're bombers.
We
just threw the doors open and have millions of them coming in. No country in the world does that.
No, that's right. That's right. One of the chapters...
Our administration in Washington is absolutely lost their ever-loving mind.
That's true. One of the chapters in your
book... So you have to learn how to pull down strongholds.
Yeah. But one of the chapters in your book that I felt like we really needed to talk about is the demonic understanding of what is happening in the world. I mean, you know, not giving place to the devil, but people in the body of Christ, so many Christians really are very ignorant of these kinds of things, and yet they're afraid to say them even when they do know them because of the persecution they can have.
Oh, yeah, they're all scared.
And yet it takes the church full of the Holy Ghost.
And no fear.
With no fear to go out there and tell people, don't give place to the devil.
Fear and faith cannot live in the same house.
Yeah.
One more time.
You know, and that's why you've spent so much time on this.
Oh, in the scripture I brought up, Paul, go 2 Corinthians 10:4. It says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal,
right,
but they are mighty.
Right.
They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, to the casting down imaginations,
yes,
and bringing into captivity every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That's why I wrote the book, because these strongholds, they come at you. Now, when the Apostle Paul listed them, to the Corinthians, when we wrote to the Corinthians,
right,
when he listed them, he mentioned strongholds first,
right,
then imaginations, and then thoughts.
Mm.
Well, in the Bible, many times, and Bible scholars will tell you this, many times they put them in reverse order.
True.
So really, they put number one is number three, and number three is number one. So
right,
the way it really happens to you, the way it really happens to me, the way it happens in human life, it's not that you get a stronghold first and then an imagination and then a thought.
Right.
No, you get the thought first, and then you get the imagination, and
right,
then you get the stronghold.
Right.
And so what Paul is saying here, he says, and he tells you how to deal with each one of those things. He says thoughts, imaginations, strongholds. And with the thoughts, he says you need to bring a thought into captivity.
Exactly.
So you can't control your thoughts. You know, people have come to me all my 55 years of ministry and said, "Oh, Brother Terry, I must have a demon. Help me. I'm having bad thoughts or nasty thoughts or terrible thoughts or thoughts of killing somebody or I'm having crazy thoughts." And I say, well, you know, everybody does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not a problem, having a thought. The problem,
right,
is letting that thing fester and,
right,
you entertain it and give into it and play with it until it becomes an imagination.
Well, and that's what the scripture means when it says, give no place to the devil.
Exactly.
He comes to you through thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And when those thoughts come,
mm-hmm,
that's when you have to immediately cast them down.
Well, and then if you know, any thought entertained,
right,
will become an imagination.
Exactly.
And then any imagination entertained will become a stronghold.
Right.
Now you've got a problem. And so Paul said, if it's a thought, when it comes to you as a thought, he said, bring it into captivity. And the original Greek there means arrest as a dangerous criminal.
Yes.
So the instant that thought comes,
right,
then you just say, I rebuke that thought and I bring it into captivity of Jesus Christ.
Right.
I arrest it like a dangerous criminal. Thought, I will not, you won't. And then if you've messed with it, played with it, entertained it, given it time till it's become an imagination, now it's a stronger thing to deal with. And the Apostle Paul tells you how to deal with that. He said, now, if it's an imagination, then you need to cast it down. Now, if it's a thought, you can arrest it. But if it's,
right,
an imagination, now it needs to be cast down.
Well, and it takes fierce attack against that in your own soul. It's a fight within the soul.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
And then if you entertain that imagination, you lay in bed at night and you think, I wonder what if, well, what if, well, what if? What if I was with him? What if I was with her? Well, what if I did this? Well, what if I did that? Well, what if I did do a little drugs? What if I did sell,
yeah,
a little on the side?
What if you imagine.
You start imagining. And now you need to cast that thing down. But if
you keep entertaining
that, then it turns into a stronghold. When it turns into a stronghold, you've got a serious problem. And Paul said, now you've got to pull down that stronghold.
Well,
I mean, I see it just like pulling down the statue. You see people just pulling down statues.
Exactly.
I mean, turning them over, pulling them down. You know, I'm always reminded of mine and your dear friend. And we talk about every day. We talk about our spiritual fathers. You know, we've got a handful of them. We talk about them every day. Or all the time, excuse
right.
me. But two of them we talk about every day is Brother Kenneth Hagin and Brother John Osteen. And we always talk about
right.
them, quote them, think about them, because
they
weren't just spiritual fathers. They were friends. They were in our lives. They creased us.
Yeah.
You know, if you take a piece of cloth and put it on an ironing board and iron it with a hot iron, you put a crease in it,
right.
and that crease will stay there. And that's what the ministry is supposed to do for you. And that's what spiritual fathers and mothers do for you. They crease your lives.
Right.
And that crease stays there forever. I've still got creases in me that those
God.
Spiritual fathers said
yes.
when I was 18 years old.
Right.
You know, things they said when I was 16 years old, things they said when I was 20 years old, things that they said that creased my life.
Yeah.
And so they still come
you
up in me
them
today.
Forever.
But anyway, one of the things that Brother Osteen used to say, he'd say it from the pulpit, not just to us personally, but he said, you know, so many people have come to me and said, Pastor Osteen, now this is Joel Osteen's dad, in case you don't know who I'm talking about, the founder of Lakewood Church, John Osteen. His wife, Dodie, still with us today, just precious. But anyway, he'd say, Pastor Osteen, I've got a demon. He said, what makes you think you got a demon? I've got a demon of suicide. You got a demon of suicide? What makes you think that? Well, because I was on a tall building down Houston the other day, and the devil told me to jump. It's a spirit of suicide. And Brother Osteen used to say, he said, you don't have a spirit of suicide. He said, everybody gets those thoughts.
Exactly.
He said, I get those thoughts. He said, I get up in the tall building, the devil says, jump. He said, I just try and say, well, jump yourself.
You know, I always thought that was so funny, and it was so clever, but it was so right.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, just tell the devil, jump yourself. I'm not going to jump, but that doesn't mean you're demon possessed.
No, that's right.
Demon oppressed or demon harassed doesn't mean you got a spirit of from hell. It just means a thought came.
Well, and people don't know how to
even cast that down. It would only be dangerous if you didn't arrest it,
yeah,
and you let it become an imagination. Then you start laying in bed, well, what if I did kill myself? What would happen? Well, blah, 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 blah. And then the thing turns into a stronghold. You can be dealing with a serious
demon. That's why this is life and death, y'all. This isn't just church stuff. This isn't just preaching. This isn't just a show. This isn't just a video. This is your life. This is life or death.
Oh, absolutely.
And if you don't learn how to take that kind of authority in your life,
absolutely,
personally, there's no preacher on the planet that can help you.
No, that's
right. You know, it's a day-to-day personal housekeeping, watchfulness over your own soul to not let the wrong thoughts manage your life.
You know, I've got an old series, I think I preached it at Joseph Prince's church in Singapore years ago, called Setting Your Course.
Right.
And I make that same statement that there are times
excellent
in your life you set a course that your pastor can't change.
No, that's right.
You know, Oral Roberts couldn't change it. Brother Copeland couldn't change it. Brother Osteen couldn't change it. Brother Hagin couldn't change it.
Right.
Nobody can change it but you. And I've gone into hospitals many times over the years. And if you're in the ministry, you have too. And about the time you reach over to lay hands on the sick person, just before you get your hand on their, your hot little hand on their head, the Spirit of God will say to me, don't pray for them. They're going to die. And I hate that, Renee. I hate it when that happens. Because now I know they're going to die. God said so. You know, because they have set a course that nobody can change but them. And so I just lay hands on and pray some little charismaniac prayer. Oh, Lord, bless them and bless the surgeon and give them wisdom and da 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 da. But I know it's not going to do any good because they have set a course. I'll give you an example of that. I've had people come to me and say, Brother Terry, my grandfather died of heart disease when he was 40. My dad died of heart disease when he was 40. I know I'll never see my 40th birthday. Well, they've set a course.
Right.
That nobody can change that.
The pastor can't change it.
Nobody can change it. Or a lady will come to me and say, my grandmother died with breast cancer. My mom died with breast cancer. I know that's how I'm going to go. Well, they've set a course that they have got to reset that. They've got to change that. It's like my series on Don't Move the Post. You know, the post gets moved so far. The Bible says you don't move the post at the ancient landmarks the fathers have set.
Wow.
So you don't move those posts. You go back here. And if you don't watch out, people reset the post and they start setting a course that nobody can change but them. They would have to literally change it themselves. And they can do that, but you know, if they're dying in the hospital, they're probably not going to. They probably set that course, and it's already a runaway freight train that can't be turned.
Well, and people don't realize too that when you don't cast down, when you don't arrest a thought, you have given place to the devil.
Oh, absolutely. And the word says plainly, give no place to the devil.
Well, God's going to speak faith to you from the word of God. But then when you give place to the devil, what that means is you're giving in to a thought of fear, of lack, of you know, termination of your life. It could be an area where you're so afraid about your children or you're talking negatively about one of your children.
Sure.
Those are things where you have to cast down.
Yes, you do.
You have to arrest.
You arrest it, you cast it down.
You have arrest it and cast it down and take authority over it. And you have to do it right back here at the beginning. You don't, like Terry's saying, don't wait to weigh out
set
here.
Of course.
Yeah, don't wait till you're just nearly hysterical and you're up in the middle of the night and you're terrified.
Now those thoughts are tormenting you.
Yeah, there's
fear,
a torment
the Bible says,
to
fear
all of
torment.
That. That's exactly right. And you have to arrest all of that, and it's at onset.
And the way to do that, you got to talk to it.
Yeah.
You absolutely have got to talk to it.
Very, very strongly. I mean, you act like you've discovered a snake at your feet. and you've got to do everything you can to not be bitten by it.
It's vital when you're thinking thoughts you don't want to think.
Yeah.
When these thoughts are tormenting you.
Oh, my goodness.
It's vital that you start talking the Word.
Yeah.
Because it's a scientifically proven medical human fact that
right.
you can't think one thing and talk another.
Right.
So if you just keep quiet, that the devil just keeps tormenting those thoughts that torment you, and they get worse and worse and bigger and bigger and bigger. But if you'll open your mouth and speak the Word, then those thoughts go away, because you're now thinking about what you're saying.
You can't do that. Yeah, you can't entertain that. The minute I feel, you know, sometimes weak in my body, or feel, you know, something fearful about this is going to happen, that is going to, I have to do so many exaggerated things to get hold of my, and I'll just start, I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. I mean, I just do ridiculous things to just, or start moving my arms around and saying, you know, I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. If it had not been for, I mean, I sing it real fast, or I just clap and praise the Lord, make a lot of noise. Israel won battles by doing crazy stuff like that.
Well, of course they did.
Making noise. Stop your brain from thinking the stupid stuff and start saying something like, you know, the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. But I'm more than a conqueror. I'm the head and not the tail.
Sure.
I mean, anything.
Well, we're almost out of time again, as we always are. But let me say this. Church people get deceived, though, into thinking when they're thinking those thoughts.
Right.
Just like coming to Brother Osteen and saying, I got a demon of suicide.
Yeah.
No, you don't. But if you don't watch out, people get so demon conscious. Devil conscious.
Yeah.
They always think they're getting demon possessed. You know, and they say, oh, Brother Terry, I was praying the other night and the devil walked in my room. He shook me awake. You know, and I said, what were you letting him in your room for?
That's right.
I was in some pastor's house one time and said, come here, Terry, come here. I went to, that's what? He took me over to the window, opened the window shade and said, see out there? And I looked out and saw his front yard. And then I said, what? He said, see that devil laying on my lawn out there? I said, he just stays out there all the time. And I said, why are you seeing that? Why are you letting him in the yard? That's your property. It's your yard. I don't want him on my city block.
I don't want him
on my sidewalk. I don't want him on my driveway. I sure don't want him in my bedroom where I'm praying.
Right. So we gotta go.
So it's you don't give place to the devil. Going down strongholds.
That's it. We're gonna talk to you again about it. God bless you, and you are always more than conquerors. Bye bye.
I recently did a message at a church that the pastors had asked me to minister on the supernatural, on the miraculous. And Renee and I both felt like that the Holy Spirit just showed up and did a good job. We called it, where are you from? You know, are you from this world here? Or are you from the heavenly world? And I think you get a hold of it, it'll bless you, it'll minister to you, and you'll learn some things about miracles.
Well, it was so profound in that we have to realize that we are living in a realm where we're surrounded by the natural, but yet we're called upon, Terry, like you taught, to live out of the supernatural
realm. And I think you probably hadn't heard anything like this before. I asked some pretty pointed questions that I think will be a blessing to you.
Sure will.
The details are on the screen on how you can get it.
Order the CD with shipping and handling, or download instantly at terrymize.com.